You don't think that's funny?
No.
It seemed funny to me when I first heard it. Maybe the trouble isn't with the joke. Maybe it's with you.
I don't think so.
I'll give you one more chance. Here goes. When I first heard this joke, I laughed myself sick. Here goes. A man comes into a restaurant. He sits down at the table and he says, "Waiter, bring me a cup of coffee without cream." 5 minutes later, the waiter comes back and says, "I'm sorry, sir, we have no cream. Can it be without milk?"
Sure.
Not funny, huh?
No.
Well, it is funny. Everybody else thought it was funny. Maybe you didn't get the point. I'll tell it to you again. A man comes into a restaurant. Did you get that?
Yes.
All right. He sits down at the table and he says to the waiter, "Did you get that?"
Yes.
All right. It isn't funny so far, but wait a minute. He says to the waiter, "Waiter, bring me a cup of coffee." And 5 minutes later, the waiter comes back and says, "I'm sorry, sir, we're all out of coffee." Oh, no, no, you've got me all mixed up now. Just on the table, he says, "Waiter, bring me a cup of coffee," and 5 minutes later, that's it. He says, "Waiter, bring me a cup of coffee without cream." And 5 minutes later, the waiter comes back and says, "I'm sorry, sir, we have no cream. Can it be a glass of milk?" Oh, you have no sense of humor. None whatsoever. Not a grain of humor in you. There's not a laugh in you. Everybody else laughs at it, but not you.
So, this week, we're continuing our trek through the world of Ernst Lubitsch, and we're...
Is that trek if we sit down and watch movies?
Maybe.
Well, I watched Star Trek before this movie, so does
all right,
that count?
So Andrew Robinson, what did we talk about?
So we finally
Star Trek
hit the year. We're coming back up to... We're coming back up in time, and we're in 1939.
It's his only language. You understand? You hear... We're coming back up in time.
But we get to party now, right? Party like it's 1939.
attacked on both sides.
You really shouldn't be in the middle because you're flanked on both sides.
There's no way up. All right.
So 1939, his feature Ninotchka, starring Greta Garbo.
Greta Gerwig?
Yeah.
What?
The story is about a Russian
operative. Say it.
I was going to say a different word, and you guys were going to just kill me.
What was it going to be?
Say it.
Should I say operative or the word I was going to
the
say?
Word the word you are going to say.
So the word I was thinking of was emissary. The word I was going to say for a half second was enclave, which is not nothing close to that. Other than there's an E in there.
Cool, you save yourself. Because I'd have stopped this podcast. Can't just say anymore. Doesn't even have a fallback excuse. What fuck are you talking about? Russian enclave. Christ.
To be fair, if you construct an enclave in Russia, it would be a Russian
right,
enclave.
Right, and then you can put it on a plane and fly it. Oh, wait, no, you can't. It's not how these things work.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He's 90. I have to wait for him to stop.
Greta Gerwig. All right,
didn't work. Are you happy?
Didn't work.
This is a 1939 film feature, Ninotchka, starring Greta Garbo, which follows the story of a Russian emissary who comes to Paris to sell some jewels in order to finance...
Run the jewels.
That's what they're doing. They're running the jewels. In order to finance the next year of Russia.
All right.
Of Russia.
Yep.
They need potatoes.
Mm-hmm. And bread is what they need.
No potatoes. Fair enough. Fuck bread.
Whiskey? Let's just go. Let's just run through the stereotypes.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah. That's potatoes why they need whiskey. The potatoes.
Right. Is that right? They need those floppy hats.
So
she has floppy hats. Mm-hmm.
So we start out with Kapowski, Boyanov, and Rakonin all attempting to sell off these jewels, only to be interrupted in their process by a count who appears to...
And French maids.
Right. Who appears to just throw them off, especially because he's trying to work in the best interest of the Grand Duchess, the former Grand Duchess of Russia. And after all of this goes on, we then get the presence of Ninotchka coming to write all of these strewn... I'm going to stop talking now.
Uh-oh. I'm listening.
Yeah, to correct the shitty mistakes of the three idiots she sent ahead of her.
Yeah. And the movie continues. This is now film number 4.
Yes.
In our series.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how strongly you guys came in.
Yes.
At the shop around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, I think this movie has taken the crown for me personally. There is so much about this movie that I adored, and it's all in execution, just like in The Shop Around the Corner. Right, there are ways that Lubitsch creates comedy, right, out of just character. So the ridiculousness of the three guys, Boyanov and the other two, who are just waiting for a good time from when you see them enter the movie. And I've said this repeatedly, I love the way this guy starts his movies, each and every one. Where you see these three guys all dressed looking scruffy, looking not too well off, going into this fancy hotel. And you see them just roll in one after another and just kind of look around, almost like they're looking in a shop they can't afford. And you can tell the staff is looking at them and being like, what are these people doing here? Mm-hmm. Only to then have a conversation outside, logicking the reason mm-hmm. to go into this hotel and spend the money. I adore the way it all goes down. And to the point at which Ninotchka appears, right? The movie always keeps those characters on their toes. There's no moment in this movie up until that point where he doesn't feel a need to bring levity into all of the conversations going on. When Ninotchka appears, it becomes a whole different ballgame of almost a standard romantic comedy style of comedy, where you have two people who are in different positions trying to do different things with different worldviews and different personalities. Ninotchka being this stone cold faced woman who wants to get the job done and is trying not to be personal. At times you feel that she doesn't have like any sort of personal side to her. She's just like, need to get this job done. God damn it, why did they send me to goddamn France? And this guy who's just trying to have a good time, and later on he finds out her relation to what he was doing in the first place. But everything about their interactions I adored. And I think the moment that killed me, and I think it's one of those highlight scenes in this movie, because as far, like, I'd heard about this movie a long time back, and people all talk about Ninotchka's laugh, and I am in love with that scene of the moment we get to see Ninotchka laugh for the first time when she's in that restaurant, and Leon is trying so hard to make her laugh at these dumb jokes. Mm-hmm. And it just breaks at that moment in which the chair falls. And it's one of those moments that I love, because it's not just a filmmaker or a storyteller combining moments to have this juxtaposed thing happen that is awkwardly funny. It is something that also plays off as sincere, right? That seeing Garbo laugh at that moment, just it's happifying, if that's even a word, right? It made me feel,
I'm putting it on a shirt, so it will definitely be a word.
It made me feel better when that moment happened. And the rest of the movie is great as well. Like, the rest of the movie has all of the all of the great writing that I love about Lubitsch's work. But Garbo is really the person that makes this movie. While the rest of the characters are just people that allow Garbo to be as engaging and great and fun as she actually is in this movie. Douglas laughs, that means he continues.
Okay, sure. No, I was just giggling at the fact that it sounded like it was a revelation to you that Garbo was the center of this movie.
Well,
when the movie is called Ninotchka, which is the character she plays. But
That's who that is.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mention it. Garbo is Ninotchka. Yes. I didn't quite make that clear.
I don't speak Russian, so.
There you go. So, you said that this movie has overtaken The Shop Around the Corner for you. Absolutely not. However, this is a number two. This is a very good movie.
Is it a close number two, or is it like, all right, it's better than those two we didn't like?
It's not close, but I have to tell you something. It's one that I feel is a grower. I have...
Not a show.
Every time he says that, we want to make that joke. Yes.
Yes. I think back to the movie, and I don't necessarily remember everything that happened. I don't necessarily... I can't necessarily construct a valid sort of analysis of the movie, but what I do remember is just happiness. It's just each small piece of this movie that made me laugh. And the thing about this guy's movies is, and you said it before, Andrew, he likes to inject levity. He likes to make things light, make dumb jokes, even when maybe it's uncalled for, which is probably why I like it so much. But this movie is great. I really liked a lot about this movie. The three amigos. Stooges. Okay, amigos. There we go. Mm-hmm. that kind of open up the movie are great. No matter where they are, whether they are some kind of scruffy looking ruffians who don't look like they can really afford what you're selling, or if they're suited up people who are looking for a good time with some French nurses and know that they have to ring 9 times to get them.
Maids,
sorry. I said nurses, didn't I? Thank you.
That's your fetish? French nurses?
Well, you never know.
You have one.
Subconscious, clearly. Mm-hmm. Greta Garbo is great in this movie. I actually really like the way she entered as well. And it's a dumb joke that I've gotten used to in movies of our time.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like that joke wasn't necessarily something that happened a lot back then. And it definitely took me by surprise, which was when they were at the train station, the three stooges, the three amigos, thinking to themselves, well, we done fucked up. Some man is going to come here and fire us, send us to Siberia, and we're in problems. They look around and around and around, and oh my goodness, lo and behold, there's a woman here in a position of power. Mm-hmm. And I didn't catch that joke at all. And I feel like this guy is fairly progressive with his movies, just generally. I don't think this particularly was, but that caught me off guard.
The more of these movies I watch, the more I think that around this time, that's just how they made movies. I think it's somewhere between the 60s and like the 90s. Where women became feeble and they were just eye candy or lovey. They were just props to the men in movies. Because all of his movies have strong female leads.
Yeah.
And the more I think back on movies of this time, like the women are equally as important to them. Because Rear Window, that lady is... I mean, she's not the protagonist, but she, like when she enters the movie, she's as integral to the rest of the movie as everyone else. I don't know when I think when America took over, because a lot of these movies weren't shot in America, I think them moving to Hollywood may have been what triggered all of the puritanical nonsense mm-hmm. that...
And I mean, Lubitsch is not an American, yeah. right?
Because I'm thinking even the Westerns, like the Westerns that had women in there,
yeah.
they were badass women. And then all of a sudden, something happened. America happened.
I guess.
Ruined movies.
Perhaps.
Still to this day. Thank you, Korea, for saying
yeah, this movie, it's fun though, and I really, as much as I know, sadly, I will probably never watch it again. I would like to enjoy the journey that would be rewatching this until
why not watch
it becomes
with your
even
mother?
Better.
She will enjoy this movie, that's for certain.
Yeah.
You can do that.
You could.
She lives here, still.
From time to time.
All right, fair enough.
She can't watch a movie. She's
incapable.
She doesn't have the attention.
Ah, that's a mean thing to say. About you. Hey, a bit. Ah. Look, shiny objects.
She just shouts, "Put on HGTV."
That's not TV. I wanted to make a HGO.
I was just about. Did you see me getting up to the mic? And I was like, you know what? No, it's not worth it.
Home garden office doesn't make any sense. So. It's funny in my head. It's funnier in my head. I was laughing in my head. It doesn't make sense when I say so.
I was just going to say it's HGTV. Yeah. But, you know, it still didn't quite. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that is correct. It shouldn't surprise you that when she just entered this movie, that is when I loved her. The Stalin version of
yes,
her is the version
so
that I want that yep. woman. When she starts succumbing to the French ways, come on, lady. This dipshit, like, he shouldn't even be fazed by his nonsense. Especially when you find out that he's actively working against you in negotiations. You should have just cut him off full time. He's not that charming. He fell. Who cares? It's a dipshit. But this movie could use a Damien's cut.
Yeah,
the point where she flies back. You can cut from there to him going to her. Everything in between.
Can we keep the dinner? I like the dinner.
I love
but
the dinner
not,
scene.
I understand, but it draws the movie. It makes the movie go from a hour and a half, a quick hour and a half movie to a 2-hour movie.
I know, but the dinner isn't.
And I love the scene where he goes to get the visa.
Guys,
I love that scene.
That's cool. But we know where this movie's going the second she gets on the plane. So let's just cut to that part so that it's 90 minutes.
I disagree.
I understand that. That's why you don't get to watch my cut of the
movie. I'm going to tell Mr. Lubitsch what you
feel free. Tell him to kiss my ass. I've cut Chris Nolan movies. Who are you?
I actually noticed when the credits were starting with this movie that apparently one of the writers on it is Billy Wilder.
Mm-hmm.
Someone we love. Yeah.
There's enough slapsticky nonsense in there. Billy Wilder should be.
Oh, he's so good.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. And one of the things I found this video online, which Wilder talking about Lubitsch.
So you didn't find it in a library?
No.
Online, you said.
Online. No. An online library.
Okay.
Great. And I found...
Where else did he think we thought he found the video? where else do we find
it? I found it on the roadside.
Oh, you were walking.
It was a scratched up VHS.
There was a man trembling behind a tree. He said, "Come here, young man. Here is this video." What?
It was a Betamax.
I found this picture in a magazine, so what are you talking about?
That's how people find out about Zardoz. Right?
Alright.
And he was talking about what he called the Lubitsch effect.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to use an example. He was talking about this scene where a king, there are three people, a king, queen, and a lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
And the queen is freaking around with the lieutenant, and the king doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with a...
Andrew,
uh-huh?
We're civilized here.
Mm-hmm.
She's having liaison with the lieutenant.
And
crass.
The point of the assignment is to come up with a comedic scene to show how the king finds out about all of this.
Right.
And he's like, everyone does it and perfectly great, but Lubitsch comes up with a great idea. Right? You have a scene where you're outside of the room. The king is leaving to go on about his business. You see him come down the stairs. Halfway down the stairs, the king goes, shit, I forgot my sword and my belt.
Mm-hmm.
The king goes, oh my goodness, I forgot my sword and my belt.
He's walking back up the stairs,
mm-hmm.
and he goes in to go and get his sword and his belt. He comes out. We never go in the room. We're always outside the room. He comes back out walking down the stairs, and you see him putting on his sword and his belt, only to discover it doesn't fit. Right? For his comical way of figuring out that there's mm-hmm. been another man in his room, and you find out that he's under the bed. And, like, that's the thing that I realized that I love so much about Lubitsch, with all these movies we've seen so far. That way in which he finds to...
Goldberg machine type way of coming up with comedy. What's the most ridiculous shit that could happen to get these two people to find out the thing I want?
The Goldberg way?
Rube Goldberg? Rube. The machine, you know, the machine that one thing leads into another. You've never heard of that?
I've never heard of the Rube Goldberg.
I've heard of that. I didn't remember what the name was, right.
Right, where there's like a ball rolling into a thing.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, you know what it is? It's
an arrow across.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sure
it's Goldberg. They had a name for
that. You sure it's Goldberg, though? Yeah, is that the. Anyway. Yeah.
I just thought of that as like a generic domino effect thing.
No.
Right? Just more than dominoes. Right?
Like these 19 things need to happen for the thing to happen. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, and actually it comes from the fact that I think he was an artist and he used to draw them. These and then machines. People said, why don't I actually make them in this real life?
This is the most elaborate nonsensical madness I've ever heard of. Yeah. And then they built them.
But just the way he puts them together, that it's... one of the things that I always talked about with comedy films, there are comedy movies where it's almost like stand-up, where you can see someone is telling you a joke, right? And there are comedy movies where they want to show you a joke. And one of the things where a lot of comedy movies do it poorly is where... like suspense movies where you figured it out before the turn comes. Movies like Lubitsch's films, a lot of it, the comedy, you can feel sometimes you're only 1 second behind the turn. especially with like the top level ones that are coming. Sure, maybe you can feel the end point that the scene wants to get to.
Right, you know what's happening. But you don't know the specifics of what's happening.
And just watching the way he'll unfold all of these sequences they're magical. Yeah. And I love them.
It took effort. He didn't just go, oh, he's going to hear that the queen and this knight is having sex and going there and murder them. He's going to have to... he comes up with something clever. It's not just... Of course, he just walks in on them. Oh, kingy. That's not a word. He's pretty good. I will definitely watch this movie with my mother. The other two, I will...
I'll
leave those. They're okay. Like, if she sees them one day on AMC or whatever those old-timey black and white channels are.
So we have one more left in the series.
Right, he's 2 of 4, so
tiebreaker time.
Technically, he's
it's more than two.
Yeah, he's two and a half, two and three quarters out of four.
Yeah,
So he's safe. Worst comes to worst, we give him 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
But this has been enjoyable.
It has been.
It is in stark contrast to the last time we did this, where it was just bile and hatred. Every single week, we dread this part of the podcast. Because there's only so many ways to go F this movie and F this director. This is good. You did good, Andrew.
I do my research.
Do you?
Yeah.
You've picked up some movies, though.
You know, it's your turn to do your research next.
Oh, I picked the director next?